First, an announcement. Bishop Burbidge has asked for all of our prayers. This Tuesday, he has to have surgery for prostate cancer. So hopefully this has been detected very early. He will be out of commission for at least 2 weeks. So please keep him in your prayers that he has a speedy recovery, but this cancer is eliminated. So with that in mind, during my pilgrimage this past October to Poland, the group went one Sunday, of all days, to Auschwitz concentration camp. It was a very harrowing experience. So we're going through the original Auschwitz, which is a little different from the Birkenau subcamp, which was the real extermination factory. So we're in the main camp of Auschwitz, going through the different barracks and so on, and there are these displays. So they have these glass cabinets that are really like the size of our gift shop downstairs, one filled with luggage, another with spectacles, another with pots and pans, another with shoes, another with children's shoes, another with prosthesis, another with human hair that was used to stuff pillows and make blankets. And then we went on and we went through the place where prisoners were punished. They had torture cells. We saw the chamber where Maximilian Kolbe and 9 others were sentenced to starvation. We saw where they executed the criminals by firing squad or by hanging. We learned about the different experiments by Dr. Joseph Mengele, all kinds of experiments. And as I was walking through, one of the parishioners came up to me and said, "Father, I noticed you're in such concentration." I was walking with my head down. And I said, "Yes, I was wondering, how could this have happened?" One wonders, how could something like this have happened? And then, as I was walking along, I thought, this is like going back to my college days when I was studying accounting. I had to take a class in production management, how factories work, how to make them efficient. Well, this was very efficient. So at the Birkenau side, the trains pulled in, the boxcars were unloaded with their cargo of people. Doctors, SS doctors, simply went this way or that way. So if you went that way, you went to the slave labor part where you'd soon be eliminated. If you went this way, you went to the gas chamber. Either way, stripped of all your belongings, those would be repurposed throughout the Reich because their factories were busy with munitions and armaments and so on. And then, if you're in the extermination side, stripped of your clothing, head shaved because they used the hair, as I mentioned, you went into the showers. The showers were the gas chambers. And after you were killed, then they took out your gold and silver fillings because that was currency, and then you were cremated. Very efficient. When Auschwitz was at its height in 1943, peak production, they had 8 gas chambers that could take care of 200 at least at a time, 48 crematoria ovens, and they could process 4,400 units, meaning people, a day. Mind-boggling. Efficiency. But how could it have happened? It was godless efficiency. And that's the key. They removed God from their lives. That's how it all happened. And so, going deeper into this, it goes back to a problem from the very beginning. Sin. Original sin. But we even go back to a further beginning, to a God who is love, and a God who loved so much, he created. The Father spoke. He created through his word, wisdom, truth. That's Jesus. This is why in the Creed we say, through him, Jesus, all things were created. God created everything with order, design, purpose. What he created was good. He created us in his image and likeness. He created us with a harmony in creation and also a graced relationship. So there's not only a physical order to the universe, there's a moral order to the universe. We're called to live in that image of God. But then came the temptation. Adam and Eve were tempted by Satan. The first one to say, I reject God. I remove God from my life. And the angel became the devil. And with that, Adam and Eve thought, we can be gods. We can decide what's right, what's wrong. We can take. We have power. We can do whatever we want to do. And they fell to sin. And that sin radiated forward, touching even our lives. We're all the poor victims of original sin. And even though we have the graces of baptism, we still have that woundedness we call concupiscence. So when we think of those temptations, isn't that what happened in World War II at like Auschwitz? Someone thought, I can be God. I'll decide what's right and wrong, and I have the power to do what I want to do without any moral obligation. Well, we don't stop there, because on this feast of Christ the King, we remembered God so loved us, he gave us his only Son, not to condemn, but to give everlasting life to those who believe. Jesus, true God, became true man. The Word became flesh. Jesus perfectly revealed God's love and God's truth to us. He showed us what it is to live in that image of God as we were intended to be created. He gave us a dignity even greater than Adam and Eve. Christ went to the cross, and with that cross and resurrection, he conquered suffering, sin, death, and he opened the gates of heaven, giving us the hope of everlasting life. He established a kingdom, not a kingdom of this world, but a kingdom of truth and love, a kingdom then of justice and peace. We, as members of the church, are called to be visible signs of that kingdom, to live by his love, in his love, to live by his truth, put that truth into action, to work for justice, and therefore strive for peace. We, despite our woundedness, have the graced relationship, beginning at baptism, but also fortified through our other sacraments. We have the teachings of our church, as well as sacred scripture. There is our truth. And that's how we are called to live. So there is what Christ has conquered. But with that said, on this feast of Christ the King, we have to make a decision. You and I, each one of us, has to make a decision. Who is Jesus for us? Is he truly the Lord, or is he someone else? So we have the scene today for our gospel of Pontius Pilate. Now, Pontius Pilate is judging our Lord. Pilate represents Rome. The emperor, at this time Tiberius, is considered a god. Pilate has all the power he needs, and Jesus stands before him. Now, Pilate thinks of some kind of kingship like the Jewish people or the Romans, whatever. But Jesus says, I'm not that kind of a king. In my kingdom, I could have angels come down and take care of all of this. His kingdom is totally different. But Pilate continues on, and eventually Jesus says, for this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. At that point, Pilate, knowing Jesus was innocent, could have freed him. That would have been a very just action. And with that, Pilate could have wondered, who really is this man? Why is he on trial? But he didn't. If we went one verse further, Pilate scoffs and he says, what is truth? And he washed his hands, ordering the execution. But remember, Christ freely went to that cross. So Pilate bought into all those temptations, going back to the time of Adam and Eve. But where does it lead? It leads to death. He gave himself the death sentence. For in 10 years, Pilate was recalled to Rome. And this time, Emperor Caligula, another proclaimed god, is displeased with Pilate and orders him to commit suicide. And eventually, Rome would fall. So much for Pilate. He could have been a saint. But instead, he fell to the temptations. Well, fast forward 1,900 years later, and we have Auschwitz. And it isn't the same story. There were those who decided to remove God, specifically Jesus, from their lives. When we look at Heinrich Himmler, he was a Catholic. Adolf Hitler was a Catholic. Adolf Eichmann was a Lutheran. He was in charge of the program. Joseph Mengele was a Catholic. And one has to wonder, what went wrong? Eventually they said no to God, yes to the temptations of the devil. And death did come. The Reich that was supposed to last 1,000 years barely lasted 10. And we look at that camp today, it's a museum, but it came to an end. The war came to an end. And we look at those individuals, they committed suicide or they were hung. And we also remember, we should remember too, that even in 1943, when it was all in peak production, Heinrich Himmler ordered Adolf Eichmann to do a study. Why was it so many of those SS guards were turning to being drug addicts, alcoholics, and committing suicide? Because they lost God and they bought the death sentence of Satan. So my brothers and sisters, it could happen again. And if we look at our world honestly, if we look at the world, look at our country, look at things that have happened in our church, it's the same story. It goes back to the original sin. But Christ is the King. And Christ is the King who conquered. So what's the choice then? What choice do you make today? What choice do I make? The first choice is to say, I reject Satan. I reject the idea that I can be a little king or that I'll serve some other king of this world. I reject the idea that I can decide for myself what's right, what's wrong. I reject the idea that I can just do whatever I want as long as I have the power to do it. Instead, I accept you, Christ. I accept Christ as the Lord and Savior. I accept you, Jesus, with my whole heart, with all my love, which I will continue to solidify, fortify through my prayer and my worship. And I will accept your truth, the truth that sets me free, because it's that truth that gives me the direction of my life. And with that love and truth, I will do my best to build a kingdom of justice, to do what is right. And with that, to bring about peace. The beauty is, even though we're just one little person, that kingdom that we're trying to build is not just external, it's inside. And that kingdom, with God's grace, cannot fail. St. Maximilian Kolbe, as he was at Auschwitz, said, "No, the Nazis will not kill our souls, since we prisoners certainly distinguish ourselves quite definitely from our tormentors. They will not be able to deprive us of the dignity of our Catholic belief. We will not give up, and when we die, then we die pure and peaceful, resigned to God in our hearts." There's the kingdom of Christ. And when Christ is our King, we live in His love. We know truth. We will live a life that strives for justice, and we will build up peace in our marriages, families, parishes, society, and peace in our hearts. And then we will be victorious one day. Give yourself to Christ the King, and you'll find that peace. May God bless you.